In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special word of welcome to our guests and our visitors. And if you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. There was a college student who wrote his parents a letter. He felt a bit guilty because he spent quite a bit of time during that first semester and the beginning of the second semester asking them for money. And every time he wrote them, he asked them for another $100 to make ends meet. And so he wrote them a letter saying something like, "Dear Mom and Dad, I'm very sorry to have to write again asking for money. I feel guilty actually writing this letter. I've struggled to try to ask you for more money, and I thought that maybe I wouldn't send it. But I feel horrible about having to write you again and ask you for another $100. This was so hard to write, and I hesitated so much that I actually almost missed the mailman. I had to run down the block, down the street, to catch the mail truck. And finally, I got there and decided to send it anyway. Please forgive me for asking for more money. Signed, with love, your son." A few weeks later, the young man gets a letter. He gets all excited because he sees it's from his parents. Opens up the envelope and there's a simple note inside. "Dear son, do not feel guilty. Do not worry at all. That letter never got here." That letter never got here. Never got it. You know, when I look at today's gospel, it reminds me a little bit of the old days when we used to watch television. And I don't know if you remember, but there was no Netflix, no Hulu, no on demand. And you had to wait till the following week at that time in order to be able to watch the next episode. Remember? So on the bottom of the screen, many times, just when things were getting good, right at the very end of a particular episode, you'd see "to be continued" in parentheses, right? To be continued. Today I feel like that with the gospel, because here we are in Matthew 5 and we're on the Sermon on the Mount. We're still on the Mount, by the way. Last week we had the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes seem very, very demanding. Some of them even feel impossible. But that's our call, to live that way. And now Jesus takes it a step further. He says, "You must be salt of the earth. You must be light of the world." And it's funny. After he tells them this, and tells them that when they are light of the world, that they glorify God with the works they do, he uses the example of the scribes and the Pharisees, but he uses it in a way as what not to do. Now we got to get in that context of the culture of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember, the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious people, the establishment in the time of Jesus. They were the ones that you found at the temple saying their prayers and going through their rituals. In other parts of the gospel, we hear how they widened their phylacteries and they did all these things that are part of the Jewish ritual. They were good people, prayerful people. But somehow, when Jesus begins to preach the kingdom, when Jesus comes to his own people, to the Jews of his day, he finds that their heart's not into it. Their heart is not into the kingdom. It's almost as if they were not paying attention to the law and the prophets. Like they never got it. Yet they believed that they were following what the law and the prophets commanded of them. And they were there in the temple and the synagogue doing the right thing according to their tradition. And how is it that Jesus, by saying this about the scribes and the Pharisees 2,000 years ago, how is it that Jesus is speaking to us today? What is it that he's saying to us, believers, followers of Christ, who seek to do the will of God? It's interesting. He says to the disciples, I did not come to do away with the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill it. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I did not come to do away with the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill it. Jesus is telling them the message of the kingdom is not to do away with these traditions of the past. The message of the kingdom is to remember the law of love. Even to this day, when you look around our society, there are many followers of Jesus who know the law. They know the fundamentals of their religious tradition, of their particular tendency or group. We live in a world where oftentimes the subject of Christianity comes up, and when it comes up, there's a lot of people who are turned off by us, to tell you the truth. Turned off by the followers of Jesus. Whether it's the evangelical crowd, or the many denominational crowds, or the non-denominational crowd, regardless, we're all in this together. We all came to be followers of Jesus, right? Do people see in us the carrying out of the love of law, the love of law, or the law of love? Because I believe that many of us are in the love of law category. We have this tendency to think, oh, this is the way it has to be. Jesus never called Christians to be the bearers of bad news or the bearers of what's happening around them. I'm tired of hearing preachers and Christians saying, oh, look, look at the world. The world is lost. Look at young people. The young people are lost. And look at the drugs and the violence and look at what's happening around us. Jesus never said, be bearers of bad news. Jesus says, be bearers of good news. That only happens when we put aside that judgmental attitude. That idea that we have the answers and we are right and we live the law of love. When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he's saying you've got to be different. Something happens with the aroma of faith. Something happens when we bring our faith, our belief to the world, to society, to our surroundings. Something changes. What if salt loses its flavor? Followers of Jesus, we're called to make a difference with our faith where we are. And he says, you are the light of the world. You know, faith cannot be hid. You can't hide it under a bushel basket. You can't hide it, you know, in your dresser or your chest of drawers and take it out on Sunday for an hour. No, faith must be put in action. And faith must be lived. That's what Jesus is telling us. Your faith must take you into the street, into the places, the highways and byways of life, right there where you are, and it's got to take you, and you've got to share it with the people around you, bearers of good news. The scribes and the Pharisees had a ritualistic faith. a faith that was about them and God. But somehow we forget the other part of the equation. Because the law and the prophets can be summarized by, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the other part is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And right one of the prayer book says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Think about it. Love of God and love of neighbor. That's what Jesus is saying in this Sermon on the Mount. The kingdom of God is about going into the world and making a difference. The kingdom of God is not about a private faith. It's about a faith that needs to be put into action. And so we cannot be indifferent to what is happening around us. We cannot just limit ourselves to judging situations and saying, this is right, this is wrong, this is like this, this is like that. That's not what we're called to do. We're called actually to let God be God, let God be the judge. We're called to go and bring God's love into a world that needs it so much. And for each and every one of us, the response to that call is different because we all live in different circumstances. We all have different professions. We work and live in different atmospheres. We find ourselves in different situations. But ultimately, the question we must ask ourselves this morning is, am I allowing the light of Jesus to shine through my life? Is Jesus truly important in my everyday living? Does it show that I'm attempting to follow the Lord and to be a builder of God's kingdom? Because ultimately, we're kingdom people, right? We're called to be kingdom people. And the kingdom of God becomes present in this world when each and every one of us, as followers of the Lord, take action. Here we are in the 21st century. Look around the world. Is it more just than it was in the time of Jesus? Is it more peaceful? Are the hungry being fed? Are the lonely being accompanied? Are the children and the youth of our time safer today? When you look around, the needs are great. Think about it. The needs are great. We must respond to those needs. And that's what being salt and being light is all about. There's a great Chinese proverb that I love. It says, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Too many Christians are dedicated to cursing the darkness. There was something about, you know, how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? And it was kind of funny, but one of the things said, you know, for a Pentecostal, that's about 10 people, because you need one to actually put the light bulb in and the other nine to condemn the powers of darkness. And then it said, oh, Episcopalians, it's about three. He says, one will change the light bulb, the other one will mix the drinks, and the other one will lead three hymns. And for Roman Catholics, it's easy. You don't need anyone. You just ask the whole congregation to take up a collection. The maintenance man will take care of it. You know, but all of our denominations, you know, have their quirks and their things, but ultimately, God is not looking at us according to denomination. God is not looking at us according to our traditions. God is looking at our hearts and saying, how are we going to respond to the gospel? Is it evident in our world today that we are gospel people? You know that a lot of people feel threatened. A lot of Christians. Maybe not us, but Episcopalians or Anglicans, we don't get into that. But you look at some of our brothers and sisters of other faith groups, and they will get very nervous about the growth of Islam, for example. Oh, lots of Muslims in the U.S. now. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? I think it's a great opportunity for the church. Because when you look at these young Muslim brothers and sisters of ours, they have a routine of prayer in their lives every day. several times a day. They dress in a certain way sometimes, depending on where they're at ideologically. But you look at the discipline and the faith practice in their life, and it's admirable, really, to look at all the things they do. And here we are, you know, we barely crack open the Bible. We come to church on Sunday and we love God, and that's great. But does it show that each and every day of our lives, we're trying to connect with the Lord in that way, with that passion? Does it show that we're really trying to be the followers of Jesus in our times? And I'll tell you what, without a daily routine of prayer, without reading God's word, without some sense of Christian self-discipline, it's very, very difficult to really be salt of the earth and light of the world. It requires that we really dive into God's word, that we really take it to heart. It requires that we have some personal time for daily prayer and meditation. It requires that we really think each day when we get up every morning, how am I going to be a builder of the kingdom in today's world? To me, it's amazing to see how many people bear the name of Christian, and how few of us are really interested in bringing Christ into our world today. If everyone who bore the name of Christian opened their minds and hearts to the message of the gospel and committed themselves to be kingdom people, our world would look different. Things would be different. So we've got to take it to heart. We can't keep thinking that someone else is going to do it. We've got to take it to heart. What does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be a builder of God's kingdom today? And what is God calling me to? I can assure you, He's not calling you to be like Channel 7. You know what Channel 7 does every night, right? At 10 o'clock, the big show. They get the best ratings in the news. They know that if it bleeds, it leads. And so if anyone on I-95 gets a little scratch or something like that, you're going to see it on Channel 7. Because if it bleeds, it leads. Too many of us Christians, we're just into that. You know, like, oh, look. Look at what's happening around us. Oh, wow. That's not what we're called to. We're called to be bearers of the good news. And the way that we're bearers of the good news is by putting that faith into action today. That's what we're called to. So today, let's pray. Let's pray and take to heart the words of the gospel. And let's ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, how can I be your light in this world? How can I be that salt of the earth? How can I be more and more committed to the law of love? How do we ensure that our faith is not becoming just a routine, but that our faith is a daily commitment to making things better, to making God present in our society and in our world? We have so many opportunities that God has put before us. What are we doing to make a difference? Let us pray. O Lord our God, you call each and every one of us to be transformed by the power of your word, to be transformed by your call to live that law of love in its fulfillment. Just like you told your disciples 2,000 years ago, you are salt, you are light. Help us to know that we have something special, a special mission to carry out in this world. Help us to know that you're calling us, each and every one of us, to make a difference with our gifts, our talents, our time, everything that we are, everything that we have. We're called to do something because all of that has been given for your greater glory. And help us, Lord, to know that whenever we do these things, we do it not so that others may see our light, but that they may see your light and give glory and praise to their Father in heaven. Amen.